Hi, this is Maria Olson. You may know me from Trophy Heads or Starry Eyes and maybe Paranormal Activity 3. And I want to welcome you to Anthony T's Horror Show because it's an awesome show.
Hi, my name is Jessica Cameron, and you're listening to Anthony T's Horror Show.
Hey, fellow horror fans. This is Troy Escamilla, the director of Party Night and Mrs. Claus, and you are listening to Anthony T's Horror Show. Enjoy.
Welcome to the latest edition of Anthony T's Horror Show. I'm Anthony T. In this edition, I have a lengthy interview. That's right. I will be going over 40 minutes with my interview this episode. So this episode will be taken up mostly by my interview. And on this episode, I will be interviewing director, producer David Kerr, actress, special effects makeup artist, and producer Amber Fulcher, and cinematographer Owen DeYoung Jr. as we chat about their latest film, Return of the Slasher Nurse, a film that I picked up recently at Scares That Care Weekend 6. I'll also have a film recommendation this episode as we're going to the theater for the film recommendation. But first, I have a couple news items that I want to talk about in the news. It seems like every episode we get some Halloween kills or Halloween ends news. It seems like it's becoming a pattern here on this show, that the news segment is pretty much becoming the Halloween news segment. As yes, there is another news story about Halloween kills and Halloween ends. Man, I'm sorry. These titles are so lame, I have to add man to every one of them. Seriously. It's just the lamest titles I've ever heard of. And I'm still sticking by that statement. It's lame. But let's get to the news about the upcoming Halloween films. There is a rumor going around. I'm just stressing rumor. It may happen. It may not happen. According to JoeBlow.com, rumor has it Charles Cyphers, who played Sheriff Brackett in the original Halloween film, will be returning for at least Halloween Kills. And that rumor gets started by none other than the man, Tom Atkins. Throw me! Now, he's also lobbying to be in one of the next two Halloween films as well, even if it's only for a cameo, as various sites such as Dread Central and MovieWeb have reported that Tom Atkins wants to be in either of the upcoming Halloween films. I don't know what to think here. Seriously. That Joe Blow breaks the story that Charles Cypher is rumored, and I stress this loosely, to be returning to the Halloween franchise as Sheriff Brackett. I don't know how they would fit that in, because if you were to included Sheriff Brackett, I would have included him when the first Halloween reboot came out last year. That would have been a really perfect time to put him in. I don't know how he would fit in now. So, don't get me wrong. I don't mind him coming back. It's just that my guess is the character will probably be retired. But I'm taking this as face value because this was broken by none other than Tom Atkins, so throw me! It would be exciting, though. If that was the case, that Sheriff Brackett returned, and Tom Atkins gets his wish and has a cameo in one of the two new Halloween films. But like I said, take it with a grain of salt, because I don't take it at face value if it's coming from another actor. Now, will they just stop filming these two films so we can stop with all this speculation and all this news all coming out all at once? Because I don't mind covering Halloween Kills, Halloween Ends, but make the films already, as it would really be nice to at least get the concrete information instead of hearing gossip and having these stories hijack my news segment. So let's just stop filming so we can get the real details, please. Because it seems like every episode now I'm talking gossip on the new Halloween film. I want some concrete news, please. Thank you. And finally, Rock and Track recently announced a bunch of guests for the upcoming convention, October 11th through the 13th. At the DCU Center in Worcester, Massachusetts. Among the guests announced between episodes include Ken Foree. Now, Ken Foree's been in the George Romero classic Dawn of the Dead. He's appeared in other films such as Leatherface, The Texas Chainsaw Massacre 3, Rob Zombie's Halloween, The Devil's Rejects, The Lords of Salem. This is a guest I've been wanting to meet for a while. I cannot wait to meet him, as I really am excited that Ken Foree is coming to Rock and Shock this year. And that wouldn't be the only guest that I want to meet badly if it wasn't for the fact that Rock and Shock will be having a Sawyer family reunion. That's right, I said it. They will be having a Sawyer family reunion, kind of, as they announced not one, not two, but four guests from various Texas Chainsaw Massacre films. First, they announced Dan Yeager, who is Leatherface in Texas Chainsaw 3D. I know a lot of people didn't care for the movie. I thought it was a good film. They also announced that Bill Johnson, who played Leatherface in Texas Chainsaw Massacre 2, will be there as well. I can't wait to meet him. I love Texas Chainsaw Massacre 2 a lot, especially for some of the craziest scenes in the film, which I won't get into because I'll be talking about for the next 10 minutes. So let's move on to the big ones that they've announced regarding to the Texas Chainsaw Massacre franchise. And they're both first-time guests to Rock and Shock. The hitchhiker himself, Ed Neil, will be there. He's also been in a little-known B-movie called Future Kill, which I liked a lot. It's one of those cheesy 80s sci-fi horror films. It's one of those films that is kind of hard to find, as they've never released it on Blu-ray. Even though I keep wishing one day that they would release this film on Blu-ray. I want to see this film get the Blu-ray treatment so bad. I don't care if it's Code Red or anybody. Release that film. That's just pure 80s B-movie fun. And the other first-time guest they announced in regards to the original Texas Chainsaw Massacre film is John Dugan. Now, I've been wanting to meet him. He played the grandpa in the Texas Chainsaw Massacre. He's another person that I really cannot wait to meet, as I swear I'm probably going to have to end up getting a second mortgage after this convention. Also, Joe Kettner and Sarah French will be at the convention as well. If you go back to episode 6 of Anthony T's Horror Show, I interviewed both of them. It's always fun seeing them at Rock and Shock every year, as this is a really insane lineup from top to bottom so far. If they don't announce another guest, I'd be happy with this convention, because this is just a great lineup that they have going this year. I really cannot wait for this convention. It's happening October 11th through the 13th at the DCU Center in Worcester, Massachusetts. They also have a rock festival going on at the same time over at the Palladium in Worcester, Massachusetts. For more information on how you can get tickets for Rock and Shock, you can go to rockandshock.com. With that, that's the news. Besides Anthony T's Horror Show, you can also listen to these other fine podcasts on the Doc Discussions Network. Doc Discussions, hosted by Phil Perrone and Michael Darwin. You Know Nothing, Jon Snow, a Game of Thrones podcast. Bullets, Brothels, and Bots, a Westworld podcast. Halloween Boutique, Psychotronic Reviews, and Searching for American Gods. You can find Doc Discussions on the web at www.docdiscussions.com. And Doc Discussions is also available on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and Spotify. Every day, there's a family struggling with hospital bills to care for their sick child who is fighting an illness. There's a woman who is fighting breast cancer and is having trouble making ends meet while paying for their treatment. And there are burn victims that are going through treatments to heal their deep wounds. There is a charity in the horror community that helps these people. Scares That Care is an organization that helps families deal with the bills for their child. They help women get the treatment they need to fight breast cancer, and they help people who are dealing with severe burns get the help they need to heal. Scares That Care is a 100% volunteer organization and 501c3 nonprofit charity that is dedicated to helping these people in fighting real monsters. To find out more information or to donate to Scares That Care, you can go to www.scaresthatcare.org. Every donation helps Scares That Care fight real monsters.
Hey guys, this is Steven Christina. I am the founder, owner, creator, and host of Super Retro Throwback Reviews. Are you looking for the best movie reviews, music reviews, video game reviews, and Comic-Con coverage all around? Well then look no further. Definitely check out Super Retro Throwback Reviews on YouTube and our new audio podcast, the new and improved Super Retro Throwback Reviews Audio Files version 2.0 on the following media distributors: Podbean, Google Play, Stitcher, SoundCloud, iTunes, and Spotify.
Class is over, John! Time for something new and improved!
Welcome back. My guests currently have a new film out called Return of the Slasher Nurse. It's the sequel to the first film, Curse of the Slasher Nurse, which is currently available on Amazon. I'm here with my guests, writer, director, producer, David Kerr, actress, producer, special makeup effects artist Amber Fulcher, and cinematographer Owen D. Young Jr. How are each of you doing today?
Doing well.
Doing good.
How did each of you get into filmmaking?
Okay, you want me to start?
Go right ahead.
I started out making music videos for my band, and I kind of got into the whole all aspects of the whole filmmaking. I'd come up with a story, and I'd shoot it, and I'd make the props, and eventually I got hooked up with a friend who was dating a girl who did gore effects, and so we started coming up with ideas for horror themed music videos, and that's actually where the idea for Curse of the Slasher Nurse came from. It was a music video idea that I had that over time it kept getting more and more elaborate, and we ended up deciding to just make it into an actual full-length film. So that's pretty much where I got my start into it. I'm gonna pass the phone to Amber next, and then to Owen.
Hello. So really I'm just in it because of my husband. He needed help with the first film, and then I kind of just started going along with it. In the new film, Bloody Summer Camp, I'll be taking lead on the effects and kind of stepping back from acting so I can concentrate on things behind the scenes. So I'm going to give you to Owen now.
Thanks. Hi, this is Owen. I started doing this in college. I started out as pre-med, and I took a class in film criticism and decided I wanted to do that instead, and I've been doing it ever since. I do it for a living, and I don't do narrative films for a living, but just working with Dave and Amber has just been a real rush. I love working with these guys, and I love doing horror movies. It was a new genre for me, but yeah, I'm really hooked on it now.
David.
Yeah.
How did the idea for the characters of the slasher nurse and Lily come about?
The slasher nurse, the idea for the costume came from the effects girl from the first film, and the girl who played the slasher nurse, Kia. She was doing a cover design for one of my CDs, and I told her that the CD was going to be called Syndrome, so I wanted her to do some kind of like scary hospital type like art for the cover. Originally, I was looking for someone to draw the cover, and then she said that she could come up with something as far as a cool picture. So she actually made the mask out of like gauze. She made the mask herself, and she came up with this idea. She kind of got a little bit of inspiration from the Silent Hill nurses, and her idea for the eye patch was she imagined it as like a virus spreading, and so that's where the idea for the costume came from. And so then when we started thinking about the idea for the video, the idea was obviously that campers were out in the woods camping, and one by one they were being killed off. I needed a killer, and so I hit her up. You know, originally I was thinking about a guy, but I hit her up and I asked her, I was like, how would you like to be the killer? Because I think that that costume that you made would be a really, really great, like, killer. And she loved it. She loved the idea. She's always enjoyed acting, but she's really shy in front of the camera, so being behind the mask was kind of like the perfect situation for her. And as far as the sister, I wanted to be able to have that kind of same similar badass character, like a Michael Myers character that didn't talk. But at the same time, I wanted to be able to explain how someone could elaborately come up with the events that happened in the film. And so my idea sparked that, you know, there would be a sister that was actually the brains behind the whole thing, and that the actual killer that you see would just be kind of like the muscle. And so that's kind of where it came from, was trying to figure out how to make the story work, because obviously the killer, the slasher nurse, was a little too broken to be that organized of a killer.
Amber, how did you become involved with the franchise?
Well, in the original film, I took a little bit of interest in the idea of, at the end, there was the twist, there was a sister and everything. And I mean, I love horror, so the idea of being a killer, you know, obviously intrigued me quite a bit. So we did the first film, and originally it was supposed to stop at the first one, but we decided to do a second one just because we wanted to improve upon the shortcomings of the first film. So, of course, I wanted to reprise my role, and Dave had that role take on more of a face. So that's kind of how that all happened.
Yeah, she liked the idea in the second one of actually being able to be the killer, because even though in the first one her character was the one behind it all, she didn't get to play that character. She played someone else, because the killer was pretending to be this nice person. In the second one, she actually got to be, you know, the sarcastic, really, you know, evil-minded killer. And that really, that's what drew her to come back for the second one, was she liked that idea.
What made you want to revisit the slasher nurse for Return of the Slasher Nurse?
I didn't. Originally, after I did the first film, I immediately had an idea for a different film. I wanted to go in a different direction, because I knew that the first film, the quality, you know, was kind of a little low because it was our first film. And I was afraid if we made a sequel, that I didn't want the sequel to be drugged down by the first one, because the first one had worse quality. But when I started asking some of our fans on Facebook and everything, it was an overwhelming amount of people that wanted the sequel rather than a new film. And it was also kind of easier, as soon as people kind of started saying that they wanted to see a second one, immediately ideas started running in my head about how the second one could go. And like Amber said, I liked the idea of doing a second slasher so that I could almost... To me, it was kind of like a remake. It was kind of like making the slasher nurse over again, but making it better, making the quality better, making the story better, trying to take the original film and improve it in the sequel.
Why did you set your story 6 years from the first film instead of the usual 2 years between films?
That was mainly because of the when we decided to go with the sister of the girl from the first one. In the first film, the lead character, Erin Warden, her sister is around 12. So in order for us to take that route and have it be a film about her sister trying to find out what happened to her, I wanted her to be an adult. So I wanted her to at least be 18 years old. So we moved it 6 years in the future to kind of not only give her time to get to, you know, an adult, but also to build up a little bit more anger in her character, as well as far as how much time had passed with no results from the cops or anything about what happened to her sister.
Now, what was it like convincing Kia Raines to come back to Return of the Slasher Nurse?
I don't think it was really that. It wasn't that hard. She was 100% on board. At first, I didn't know how she would feel about it, because she was dealing with some kind of health problems at the time, so I was afraid that, you know, she might not be into it. But as soon as I asked her, she said 100% yes. She was 100%. I'm sure if I asked her to come back for a third one, she would be there in a heartbeat. And I think she's as long as I make slasher nurse films, she will always probably come back as the slasher nurse.
Emma, what was it like working with Kia Raines?
Well, we're actually friends, so, I mean, it wasn't hard. We get along. We have similar tastes, so appreciation for the characters was pretty easy.
And it kind of helped with y'all playing sisters.
Yeah, and it kind of helped with the whole sister bond thing. So,
what was it like casting Alana Alfaro as your lead in this film? And how hard was it to cast her role?
Hers was definitely the hardest one to cast, because when you're dealing with an indie film like we do, we don't have the availability to offer people like money, you know, so it's definitely harder to attract any kind of talent when you don't really have a lot to offer other than making a film. I actually found Elena on Craigslist. I do a lot of casting calls and everything, but I actually posted something on Craigslist, and apparently that's what she saw. And when she showed up, she was the perfect age. She had kind of like a similar look to the sister. As soon as we did the audition, I was pretty set that she was going to work out well for this sister part.
Emma, what was it like working with Elena on the film?
It was good. As far as like most of the cast, I only had certain days with them. So, I mean, I get along with Elena. I actually, outside of the film, did photo shoots with her too. So, I mean, she was easy to get along with.
Now, what was it like casting the rest of the cast in this film?
Well, the one big one was fun to bring back certain characters. Like the one character, Josh, he's actually Kia's boyfriend. He played Josh in the first one, and he actually played Jax in the second one. When I did the sequel, he was a lot of fun to work with, and I wanted to bring him back because a lot of people told me that his character in the first one was their favorite kill, because he was just such an asshole that they actually enjoyed his death. And so I wanted to bring him back. I want to bring back a lot of the things that people liked from the first one, and so I offered Josh the role as the brother from the first one, and you know, he was completely for it, so we brought him back. And we tried to make his character a little bit nicer than the his brother character, but they're pretty similar. And then we brought back Will, who played the orderly, and we brought back Jim, who played Detective Johnson. Even though he could only do like one day, we wanted to at least bring him back for like a short stint. And the other characters that I cast, it's been amazing because I've actually met a lot of cool people that I'm also going to be using in the next film that we do. Christian Jensen. I met him through a fellow cast member, and he actually travels all the way from New Jersey to come down to film with us. And Christian is just one of these really, really talented people that he's kind of like typecast because he always looks like the sleazeball, but he's incredibly talented. So we were actually very fortunate to get him because we actually had someone else lined up for the role, but they had backed out. And so Rita Christine, who plays the cop in the second one, she suggested Christian because she was friends with him. And I was a little hesitant at first about bringing someone in that was traveling from New Jersey, but I definitely don't regret it. And I can't wait to work with him and Rita and Wayne and, you know, some of the other new cast members because it was a lot of fun. Every time we bring in new cast members, it's like we all kind of become a family. Yeah, we instantly become friends. There's a lot of joking, a lot of lighthearted stuff behind the scenes.
Owen, how did you become involved with this film, considering you didn't work on Curse of the Slasher Nurse?
Beer.
Right, I worked for beer. I responded to an ad on Craigslist, I think. Yeah, I'm just some dude that Dave met on the internet. But I was looking for something different to do. I don't do narrative work. I do pretty straight up non-narrative stuff with my day job. It gets kind of dull. I was looking for something else, and Dave, I think, was looking for a camera guy, and I responded, and yeah, here we are, still.
Now, Owen, what are some of the differences from working on a non-narrative film to working on a narrative film?
Well, there's a few things. One, it's a film without a budget, which means you have to be a lot more creative with the gear you have on hand. And I bring some stuff to the table. So that was a challenge. You work long days because we could really only do it on weekends. So our days sometimes went for 12 and 14 hours to get everything we needed to get done in the 2 days we had that week. And on the other hand, it's there's a lot more creative opportunities in terms of just composing shots because it's a narrative feature, and you can light things with high contrast and show, you know, use more shadows and do more with color than you would something that's just like a straight documentary style.
Be more artistic.
Yeah, be more artistic. Dave nailed it.
Both of these films have more of an 80s feel with the gore and nudity. Dave, what made you want to go in that direction with the Slasher Nurse film?
Originally I wanted Curse of the Slasher Nurse to take place in the 80s, but we just didn't have the money or the locations in order to pull off making it an 80s film. But obviously, Curse of the Slasher Nurse, to me, it was always meant to be a love letter to 80s slasher films. I was born in 1986, so I was born in, you know, the mid 80s, and so right around that time, you know, Jason, Michael, Freddy, they were all well into their sequels. They were very popular at the time, and you know, I couldn't tell you the first horror movie that I watched because I watched horror movies from a young age. And so those slasher films, I think I was exposed to them at such a young age that they kind of, you know, imprinted on me, and they kind of had a pretty good effect on me to where, to me, that's my nostalgia when I think about that. That's my favorite genre. That's my favorite time period as far as horror films, because that's kind of my childhood. So when I did Curse of the Slasher Nurse, you know, being that I was going to make my first horror film, of course, I'm going to make the horror film genre that obviously that I'm most connected to, which was a slasher film.
The film also had some very good gory effects as well, which was done by the film's two main stars. Amber, what was the makeup and special effects process like?
That depended on the day. Some days it was really simple. Other days, you know, there was a lot of work that went into it. Some things we had to do on the fly. There was one scene where we bashed in a head. That took like a week's worth of prep because we had to make the head and fill it up and, you know, yeah, there was a lot of smells that were associated with it. And the leg, yeah, the leg took a long time. The girl that played Cassandra, whatever her name was actually Cheyenne. And the bed that we had set up had a hole in it that we put her leg through, and then we attached wax and, you know, other various things to the bottom of her leg, and she had to sit there for hours. You know, you give her a juice box and she was good to go. But I mean, some of the effects really did take a lot of time. So, I mean...
Well, then Amber and Kia, they would spend a couple of hours, you know, doing these effects. And then they would have to turn around and put their makeup on, put their wigs on, and then they would have to act out the scene as well. So they're kind of doing double duty, you know, during some scenes, a lot of scenes where, you know, there's a lot of gore. They spend a couple of hours before filming, setting it up and doing it, and then they spend another hour or two in makeup, acting out the scene.
Yeah, we were in makeup during the therapist scene, and we had to sit there and do the effects for where we had tortured the therapist while we were filming the scene as well. So, I mean, there was a lot of work that went into it.
What was the most difficult special effect to create?
Oh, wow.
Oh, my God. Yeah, the decapitated.
Yeah, the decapitated body was definitely, that definitely took a lot of prep work. And then during the filming of the scene, it took a lot of an additional work too, and a lot of setup for trying to prevent,
and whenever you're dealing with, spraying blood, there's, room for failure. And we actually had to do, a couple different days of trying to get that decapitation scene because, we did it originally and it didn't work. And so we had to go back. They had to do the effects over. They had to, you know, do everything else over again. And we had to go set everything back up and try again, because when you're dealing with kind of like those kind of things, like I said, it can mess up.
It was like three different days. One day we filmed the mannequin that had the head decapitated off of it. One day we filmed where I actually held the camera as facing myself with the gore effects on my neck to play Rita's body double and drop down. And then I think we had another day of spraying too that we filmed. So
spent a couple of days repainting Jeff's ceiling.
Yeah, and then we had to, you know, repaint ceilings and things. And then the Rita getting hit too. So yeah, I mean, some of those effects actually took days. And then like the leg, we had to do two different days of filming, so we had to recreate the same scene and the same effects over again. So
now, what was the most challenging thing that each of you had to deal with while filming this film?
The most challenging thing for me is always finding a reliable cast. The girl who played, who did the shower scene, and the girl who got her leg cut off in the basement, both of them were actually originally supposed to be the same character. But I went through about 7 or 8 different girls that would they would show interest in the role, and then they would back out, and I ended up having to split that into 2 different characters. And that's just something that I've dealt with both films. The first film, it almost drove me crazy, but I learned to expect unreliability from people. I learned to not trust people, unfortunately. You know, I always have to prepare for someone to not show up. I always have to kind of have a backup plan. And so that's always the most difficult, is when you're not, when you don't have people as a paid employee and, you know, they're volunteering their time, it is very difficult to ensure that the people that you have are going to be there and they're going to show up when they're supposed to. So that's definitely, casting is definitely my biggest hurdle. I'm passing it to Amber now.
So mine was definitely time. So this took up a lot of time, and I already worked 50 hours a week, and then having to come and do this, I had to do my role. I'd have to fill in for other cast members and then do effects and things. So it was really, for me, the whole time. That was about it for me.
For me? Time was always a challenge, just period. But then the other thing is we had a sequence with a gimbal shot, the all steady. The thing had a mind of its own. So trying to keep that thing pointed in the right direction and keep the camera in focus.
I figured you were going to say filming the same scene on multiple
days. Well, there was that, too. Yeah, there was also matching lighting on scenes over multiple days, which I didn't notice when I watched the film back. There was only one place where I blew the focus, but there's a lot of challenges. The time is your biggest enemy on something like this, and like Dave said, because these people aren't paid. They just want to be there. And, you know, we rushed through a lot of stuff. I really wish we hadn't rushed through that. If we'd just taken 15 more minutes to do it again, it would have been so much better. But, time ultimately was the enemy.
Owen, what was the scene that took forever?
What was it?
Well, that was the chase scene, Mark's death. We shot that, it's about 5 days. I don't know, it's more than 5 days.
His entire death scene, from the gate to the actual death, it was at least 5 days.
And so it was supposed to be a night scene, so we had to shoot it at twilight so we could fake the night. And it rained and it thundered. The lighting was never the same. Amber had to deal with that in post.
Amber had to play a different character.
Amber actually was slasher nurse at one point. The chainsaw. Right. The chainsaw wouldn't start. We had breakaway props that were breaking before they were supposed to break. But that was the toughest scene. But also, that's the one scene where I forgot I was watching a low-budget horror feature. That one turned out the best.
Oh, yeah. I had fun doing
that was great. That was a great scene.
Dave, what was the screenwriting process like, as this film has some very good hill scenes, including one in the bedroom, which I will not go into detail, as there might be kids listening here.
The sequel, actually, I had a couple different ideas. I bounced, and anytime I have ideas, I always like to bounce them off people, but I try to keep it close to myself because I don't want to give away anything. Usually Owen and Amber are my two kind of go-tos, and I originally had an idea for the sequel where the sister actually tracks down the killer and actually catches the killer and ties him up and, you know, tries to get information out of him. But Amber informed me that was not a good idea. She didn't like it, so I had to rethink it. I had to come up with a different idea. But I bounce, anytime I do screenwriting, I bounce ideas. And then, you know, Amber, my wife, she's incredibly truthful. She's not afraid to hurt my feelings. So if I tell her something, if I have a good idea and I tell her something and she likes it or she says, yeah, it's good, then I'm super excited because, you know, she's not going to tell me it's good if it's not. And so that's what I like to do. And with the sequel, with the scene that you had, that you mentioned particularly, there was a time when we did the premiere for the first film that during the I'm not going to mention the scene either, but during the couple out in the woods with the crossbow, when that scene played on the theater screen, people actually stood up and clapped in the theater at that scene. They loved it. There was people who completely hated that film that said that, but that death was cool. And so I wanted to top that. You know, everyone thought that death was like really kind of like raunchy and extreme. And so I was like, well, how do I top that? You know, if I'm gonna do a sequel to this film, Yeah, I want a better torture scene, and I want to top the scene that really just, like, caught everyone off guard, and that's where the idea for that one came from. But other than that, my screenwriting process is to just lock myself in the room, put headphones on, and I think I listened to the same band. I listened to Avatar when I wrote the first film. So when I wrote the second script, I played Avatar again because I wanted to kind of have that same kind of mind frame while I was writing the script.
Dave, what made you decide to explore more of the slasher nurse and her relationship with her sister? And Amber, what was it like acting in those solo scenes with Kia?
Well, I felt like it wasn't something that was done too often. And it kind of reminded me of, like, some of my more favorite films, like From Dusk Till Dawn, where you get to see the relationship between two killers. And not only that, but in From Dusk Till Dawn and kind of like our film, the two killers are completely different. You know, they both kill people, but they both have a different mindset. And that's what kind of entertained me about that was when originally it was the film was kind of building up to be like the same first one. We even thought about having Amber wear a mask as well, but then when we kind of got out of that idea and we decided that Amber wasn't going to wear a mask, it was like, well, you know, let's show her personality, let's not make another slasher nurse, let's make someone with a personality, because you've got the best of both worlds. You've got kind of like the killer like Michael Myers, and then you've got the killer kind of like I don't know, like Chop Top from Texas Chainsaw Massacre, American Psycho, you know, someone. I like the idea, I like comedy, and so I like the idea of having a killer with kind of like a sick sense of humor. And so that was kind of, I got to do toy with both at the same time.
It was fun for me to play that character and to play off of her. It was interesting. Because, I mean, she was, you know, how she had to maintain silence, and, you know, I had to pretend like she was speaking to me in some sort. So, yeah, especially we had a diner scene. So, it was fun. I actually really enjoyed it. I don't really like acting myself, but this was just one of those things that I actually really enjoyed. So,
Amber, would you consider acting again?
I don't know, honestly. I can't say no, but I'm not going to say yes. I really do like horror, but acting is just not one of those things that I ever really thought to pursue. I do enjoy special effects and working with everybody and everything, but maybe one day, but just not right now.
What was most difficult to shoot, this film or Curse of the Slasher Nurse?
Curse of the Slasher Nurse. And mainly just because in Curse of the Slasher Nurse, I kind of felt like I was on my own. Even though I did have Amber's help, and I did have Josh, and I had Kia, and, you know, they all helped when they could, I felt like I kind of like had everything on my shoulders. Because I was doing all the camera work while editing. Unfortunately, with the first one, what kind of went wrong from the beginning is I couldn't find a camera guy. I couldn't find a cinematographer. So right off the bat, I'm having to work a camera for the first time in my life. You know, I'd never shot with a camera before, and yeah, I'm reading tutorials and trying to figure out how to make it work. Looking at, you know, different lenses and, you know, trying to take a crash course in that. And the other thing is, too, aside from the fact that, you know, not only am I doing that and I'm trying to direct, you know, people, you got these people who aren't, they're not actors or actresses. You know, they're doing it because there's some of them are our friends. Some of them are just people that, you know, thought it would be fun. But they're looking at me for some kind of direction, and I've got a camera in front of me, and it's kind of hard to direct them. Yeah, I'm separated from them. And then, I also didn't have a sound guy. I didn't have a clap production slate. I didn't have really any crew. So, really, the jobs just fell on who were there. we'd have actors, you know, slapping the production slate. Some the gas and stuff scene, I actually had a mic stand that I was using to hold the shotgun mic, and I was dragging the mic stand across the store. So I was doing the production slate, directing, camera work, and sound all at the same time because I just didn't have any help at all. So that was a nightmare. And then on top of that, everything that I knew in the second one, I had to learn in the first one. Editing, I had some experience in editing with music videos and stuff, but I had to learn how to work Adobe Premiere, and I had to learn how to basically do everything in the first one. So the second one was kind of like, you know, I'm stepping around the landmines rather than on them.
I noticed at your booth at Scares That Care weekend that you were both selling the theatrical edition on DVD and the extended edition on Blu-ray. Why did you release the film that way?
Because I had to shorten the film because it was already over 2 hours. I had to shorten the film for the premiere. And when I made that version, I wanted people to be able to get that version. But at the same time, they're like the diner scene with Amber and Kia, I wanted people to be able to see. I didn't want those scenes to go to waste. So I wanted to be able to give people two different versions. And rather than making two different versions of a DVD, it just made sense to me to make one a DVD and one a Blu-ray. That way, if you wanted both of them, you still got two different, you know, things. You got a DVD and you got a Blu-ray. So that, to me, that made the most sense was to give people it in two different formats rather than just both of them on a DVD, and then they would pretty much have the same thing.
Are there any plans for another Slashers film, as the ending of Return of the Slashers left the door open for another one?
Yeah, it's possible. The third one, I know some people want us to do a third one after this, but I decided that if I was going to do another one, I actually wanted to do, like I said, I didn't want to do a second one. So if I was going to do a third movie, I wanted to do something that I wanted to do. I want to try and do something bigger, and that's why I went Bloody Summer Camp. But I always toy with the idea, and I always get ideas for scenes. I even talked to some of the characters from the first one about, you know, I've got this idea for the opening scene for Slash Nurse 3. And I'll always toy with the idea, and it could happen. It could happen just as much as it could not happen. So,
will Slasher 15 Media be at Amore Cons this year?
Creature Feature Weekend on August 30th. That'll be our last one for the year.
Now, before I wrap up, I also noticed that you have an Indiegogo campaign going on for Bloody Summer Camp. Tell everyone about that
for me. Well, Bloody Summer Camp is basically what I wanted Slash Nurse to be. It is an 80s slasher film. We actually, like I said, when I decided that I was going to do a third film, I wanted to shoot for the stars. And I said, we're either going to raise money to make the film that I want to make, or I'm going to take a break. And I actually thought I was going to take a break, but surprisingly enough, we actually raised the money. And so we picked out the camp. I always thought that even though, like, Halloween and My Bloody Valentine are two of my favorite slashers that don't take place at a camp, I always thought that a summer camp is the perfect slasher setting because it's isolated, especially in the 80s. You cut one phone line and you're completely cut off from the world. It's just the perfect setup. And yeah, I'm a huge fan of Sleepaway Camp and The Burning, and yeah, I wanted to make that. And like I said, now that we've got two films under our belt and we've got, you know, some cast members that have some reliability, I was willing to take on a bigger project. And so I pitched the idea for this new 80s slasher film. It's a slasher film, but it takes place in the 80s. It's supposed to have all the same feel of the 80s slashers, and it's inspired by them, but it's a, you know, it's not a reboot, it's a new story that takes place in the 80s. So it's going to have lots of nostalgia. Felissa Rose from Sleepaway Camp, we wanted to get a horror celebrity in the film with us, and she was our number one pick the entire time because she's the most iconic camp slasher character ever. and we were able to get her. We actually film with her next month. And with our crowdfunder right now, we've already crowdfunded enough to make this film. We crowdfunded the minimum budget we needed to make this film. Right now, the crowdfunder is just to try and get us a little bit more of a budget, get us a little closer to our target goal. And Felissa Rose was kind enough that she's actually allowed us to offer some perks that include her. She's going to do autographs. She's going to do she'll do personalized video messages to people. She'll do we're going to sell her her counselor t-shirt signed by her. So there's lots of cool perks that are Felissa Rose. You could eat lunch with her on set. And then we've also got our own creative perks of you could actually be the killer in one of the scenes of the film, or you could be drawn on one of the covers of our DVD, associate producer, executive producer, all kinds of perks.
Now, will Amber and Owen be involved with the film as well?
Yes, both of them will be back. Owen is coming back as my cinematographer, and Amber will be back. She's going to be doing effects, and she's going to color grade as well. She color graded the previous two films. She's going to color grade this one. She's going to be messing around with the wardrobe as well, but she will not be acting in the film, though.
Also, who else is starring in the film?
Also, we've got, I don't know if you've heard of the Friday the 13th fan film Voorhees, but Cody Falk, he's actually the director of that film. He's going to star as our lead character. He's actually got quite a few acting credits to his name, but he's starring as the lead character, Todd. And we've got some people coming back. We've got some people coming back from Slash Nurse. We got Spartacus Jones, who plays Spartacus in Return of Slash Nurse. We got Bobby Langford, who's going to be playing the camp owner. He's coming back. Christian Jensen, I mentioned him before. He's going to be the camp cook. And Wayne Townsend, who's also was Rob in Return of Slash Nurse. He's actually coming back as Todd's best friend, Kevin. And we've got Rita Christine coming back. And then we've got a lot of new talented people. A lot of people from the area, from Virginia, Maryland area that's been doing a lot of acting. Matthew Sharp's been in quite a few films, and Zachary Thaler, Brendan Lynch, all of them are, you know, pretty experienced actors and actresses that will be joining us. Kate and Kaylee.
When does filming stop for this film?
Filming starts on September 8th. We're only going to do three scenes next month. We're doing the lake scenes because of the weather, because of the temperature of the lake. And then Felissa Rose, we film with her at the end of the month because she's not available when we film the rest of the film. But most of our filming is actually taking place in the spring. So we're just doing a couple scenes this fall, and then we'll continue filming in the spring.
How can people contribute to the Bloody Summer Camp Indiegogo?
Well, if you can either go on our Facebook page, go on Facebook and look up Bloody Summer Camp. You can Google Bloody Summer Camp, and I'm sure our Indiegogo will come up. And you can obviously just donate money, but you don't have to just donate money. There's awesome cool perks where it's basically, you know, it's a win-win for you. We donate money to you, you donate money to us, and you get stuff in return. Like I said, you can pre-order the movie. That's one of the best ways to help us, is just pre-ordering the movie, the Blu-ray or the DVD. And then, like I said, we've got signed posters. We've got, you know, all kinds of cool special perks and stuff. And if you can't donate, or if you can't contribute to our crowdfunder, sharing it is just as important as contributing, because every person that shares it with other people gets our film out there, gets more people knowing about it.
How can anybody pick up a copy of either Curse of the Slasher Nurse or Return of the Slasher Nurse?
Curse of the Slasher Nurse you can actually buy on our Facebook page through us. It's also being distributed through Screen Time Films. Screen Time has it for sale on Walmart.com, Amazon.com, quite a few online outlets. And like I said, you can also watch it on Amazon Prime, or you can buy it on Amazon Video On Demand. Return of the Slasher Nurse, is only out through us right now while we have limited copies until I do sell out. I don't have many copies left, but if you hit me up on our Facebook page, Return of the Slasher Nurse, you can buy it directly through me. After it premieres a creature feature, I will be putting it on Amazon at some point. And we are currently, we haven't signed with a distributor, but once we do, it'll be available through the distributor as well.
How can they find out on social media for Return of the Slasher Nurse?
We're on Facebook as Return of the Slasher Nurse. We're on Instagram as Slasher Nurse, and we are on Twitter as Slasher Nurse as well. So we're on three of the biggest social media platforms.
I want to thank you, David. Thank you, Amber, and thank you, Owen, for coming on to my show.
Thank you.
You're welcome, and have
a good
day.
You too.
Want to learn more about horror directors? With a lighthearted look at three of their movies? Meet fearless podcaster Gore Blimey.
I've been unsettled by bats in the past and startled by parrots, and I've even been known to jump at the odd cockatoo.
Discover horror films that are classics, and others, too.
There's a topless aerobics massacre, an exploding rock singer, cannibals, nude martial arts, a deep-fried prostitute.
But it's not all silliness. You'll get proper movie breakdowns, opinion, and background information, too.
Yep, in the 80s and 90s, Jeff Stryker was huge in gay porn. In every sense.
So if you're a horror film fan, come and check out the Trilogy of Terror podcast at strangeanddeadly.com or find it on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or on your podcatcher.
One of those people that has a certain charisma and a certain style, and I'm just hoping one day he'll rub off on me.
The Trilogy of Terror podcast, where we try three times harder to give you the willies.
You can find Anthony T's Horror Show on social media on these platforms. Facebook at facebook.com/AnthonyT's Horror Show. Twitter at www.twitter.com/AnthonyT's Horror. On Instagram at www.instagram.com/AnthonyT's Horror Show. On YouTube at www.youtube.com/AnthonyTherber. And you can find Anthony T's Horror Show on the web as well at anthonytshorrorshow.blogspot.com. And you can also find Doc Discussions at www.docdiscussions.com. For my film recommendation, I told you we are going to the theater. Now, you must be thinking, oh, we're going to recommend Dario Argento's opera. No. Or maybe I was going to recommend Repo the Genetic Opera. Great film, but no, I'm not recommending it this episode. When I meant we're going to the theater, I meant the film theater. And yes, I'm not recommending popcorn, so don't expect me to talk about popcorn or midnight movie or any horror movie that takes place in a movie theater, because I'm not recommending any of those this episode. But I'm recommending a film that I recently caught at Scares That Care Weekend 6. This is definitely one of the best films I've seen all year. It's a little indie horror film called The Theater of Terror. It's a film that's comprised of four short films. The film is directed by Tom Ryan, and I have to say, this is just a great anthology horror film. One of the reasons why I enjoyed Theater of Terror a lot was the fact that this was an anthology film that really kept my interest throughout. There wasn't a bad segment in the whole film. I enjoyed the wraparound segment a lot, as I thought Tom Ryan was great in his role in the film, as I thought he made his character very charismatic. And it's definitely something that you need for a horror anthology film, is to have that charismatic character in the wraparound segment that keeps the movie going. As sometimes in anthology films you can doze off, but you need that character that's charismatic to the point that gets you from one story to the next, and you're glued to the screen. And I really thought his performance was very good, as he really did a great job, as this was an excellent performance, I thought. And the segments for each of the four films were also very good, as they were different and very entertaining. If there were a couple of really good segments that I had to pick out of the five, first would be the wraparound, obviously, because I really liked the fact that it really brought an eerie feel to the complete project, as some anthology films will have wraparound segments that do nothing. This was actually telling a story while also getting you to the next segment. It made this film interesting and made all the segments worth wanting to tune into. Another really good segment was the bookworm, as this shot was very good. This film has very good lead acting from Scott Gorbach and Sarah Scoofs. The shot has also some very good effects from Michael Anthony Scott Dello. And the screenplay for the show is also very well done. I liked how Ryan does a very good job developing the main character throughout the course of the short story. It had some very horrific imagery, which really made this a very entertaining segment. Another one I would have to say that was very good is Abducted, as I thought the spacecraft effects in this film really gave the segment its very eerie feeling and tone. I liked how Ryan makes sure that the alien scenes are done in a way that keeps you invested in the segment, even though the segment stars one actor for most of the film. But what I really liked about Abduction was the fact that it has a very good twist at the end, as it really made the short work very well as a whole. And it's nice to see a segment where the unexpected happens. There's also some other good segments in the film, including The Gift and Endangered. The Theater of Terror is a great horror anthology film, as this is probably the best indie horror anthology film that I've seen since Horror Independent 8. So definitely check this film out. I urge you to buy a copy of this film, because this is one of those anthology films that you're going to have a really fun time watching. The address is www.theaterofterror.net. It's theater spelled T-H-E-A-T-R-E of terror.net. Definitely grab a copy of this film, as this is truly one of the best horror films I've seen all year. And this will probably make my top 10 horror film list of 2019. And it is why I'm recommending The Theater of Terror on this episode of Anthony T's Horror Show. On the YouTube channel, I will be having another edition of Anthony T's Horror Collection up very soon, most likely a couple days after this episode is out. You'll get to see my latest episode of Anthony T's Horror Collection, where I talk about all the stuff I picked up at Scares That Care Weekend. Couple of announcements for the show. Next episode, I'll be talking about CT Horror Fest, and I will have a guest on, most definitely, so you will definitely get a guest. I haven't decided who's going to be on yet, but I'm working on getting a guest for episode 28. Episode 29 will be a Best of Anthony T's Horror Show episode, highlighting some of my favorite rants, my favorite interview, and my favorite film recommendation segment from the past first year. If you have any complaints, have any questions, or anything, always feel free to email me at anthonytshorrorshow@gmail.com. If it's a question and it's good enough, I'll read it on the air on a future episode. Plus, I don't mind taking feedback, so feel free to leave it at anthonytshorrorshow@gmail.com. With that, it wraps up another edition of Anthony T's Horror Show. Have a good day and support indie horror.